JG3
Number 12B.
So we love this law. It's so wonderful because we can see that in spite of ourselves, we are programmed for success, and that success of our life is a universal blessing, that the Christ is going to give us the divine whap that's going to wake us up to be that universal blessing, isn't it? Through this translation and retranslation. It wants us to be a success. It forces us to be a success through science or suffering. So therefore, we get the suffering if we don't, if we resist the power retranslation in our life, and we go through chaos, and we want to look back. We want to be the rear view mirror society that wants to look backward. Oh, to the good old times. Gee, that was fun. But I'm in chaos and things aren't happening the same. Relationships aren't the same. The business isn't the same. Things are different. I wish I could go back and make things the way they were. Well, it's a science that governs changes. We have to go forward because every feedback brings in a higher input of greater complexity. Our life takes on higher categories, higher complexity. Other things come into our life, and we have to look forward and in suffering we say, what is it that's trying to get our attention? What is the higher order that is there? What is the greater complexity? What is the more truth content that is trying to come in to show my life from a higher standpoint, from my place value within a higher order of things? And naturally, this is happening because principle is presenting what we are as idea, taking us from a physical explanation through a human explanation into a spiritual explanation. If we resist it, we will suffer, we will chemicalize, we'll come into conflict and frustration. We'll call it animal magnetism, we'll call that we're under a false evil influence, but we already learned in the Bible that the armies of evil are the armies of the Lord. That it is always when we go through suffering, Mrs. Eddy says, we don't see the angel that is there. We don't see the good that is there. In any wilderness period, it's hard to see it. And it's very difficult to see it. But if we can see that our life is a universal blessing, and we reach out to be a universal blessing, we just have to let go and know that it isn't animal magnetism happening in our life, that truth won't remove from us anything that is offensive. It will protect our useful surroundings in the travail of spiritual birth for everyone in the universe, including man. But unfortunately, we have to go through experiences that we don't like to learn these kind of lessons. And it always, Mrs. Eddy shows, that any lesson that we go through, whether it's hard with the universe, with Earth, with the business, with the family, that we don't like, we have to see the blessing behind it. And don't take ourselves out of being a universal blessing at any situation. Like I say, if a loved one has gone on or something, don't stop being a universal blessing. It's there to learn. Mrs. Eddy says there that, again, that always the disappointment in the human is for the advancement of spiritual good. The human disappoints. It always will disappoint, but it will love wants to kick us higher. And she says, ask for the bigger point of view. Shouldn't we put the family back to God and give it back in ourselves and go on about our spiritual identity and everybody else's spiritual identity? Ultimately, we have to learn that life is in and of spirit. How long do we have to stay that life is in and of matter and try to demonstrate life and the family in and of matter? Someday we have to come. It says in the Christian Science versus Spiritualism chapters, does man create man? Or does God create man? And under the title, a whole roof category of spirit, God creates man. We have to see life in and of spirit through our experiences. We don't like it, but that's what it's showing. It's a very suffering sense. But if we have the holistic view, we don't suffer. And many of us who go through these experiences, we don't like them humanly, but if we take on the higher mantle of the Christ attitude, we make it. And we can make it with joy. Even if we lose those very close to us, we still can make it with a lot of joy and love and feel that we're all together, all of us in the whole universe, including man, working out our salvation through the Father, Mother, God, not through any sense of human family. Because she even says that even the gold of human character must be overcome. We see that what we try to do is plaster the spiritual on the human and make the human work in business and relationships and everything. It's so hard for all of us to learn that God is trying to demonstrate life in and of spirit. That is a hard, bitter pill. But gee, if we respond at any moment that we're really suffering, if we respond at that moment, we shouldn't have to suffer anymore. Because we have the method to hold back suffering, to let it happen. Keep identifying the universe, including man, with God. We should go through experience once, and we shouldn't have to go through it again. It's an attitude. It's hard. And nobody says it isn't, and we're all there as supportive with our support and empathy and all of it, but none of us can keep all of us from going through the experience. Well, it's for good. Because the maximum of good is God and its idea and principle wants us to see that life is in and of spirit here and now. Mrs. Eddy, when she passed on, said, God is my life. That's what she saw through Revelation. Life was in and of spirit, and she gave the best she can. And yet we go on and we want to show now and prove to others that, yes, we don't have to die, that old age is a disease to be overcome. The belief that life, we were born in matter, live in matter, grow old in matter, is all the second record of creation, looking at the pattern through dark glasses, and that it's just a question of perception. But when we put on the lens, we see life in and of spirit, not in and of matter. Our healing is a spiritual healing. That's why when healing takes place, it isn't such that it's just a physical healing. The greater is the spiritual healing. When the spiritual healing comes, the physical healing comes, because the spiritual healing first wants to put us into the categories of God. Once we're put in the categories of God, then that always, we know, mind governs the mental, governs the physical. But we say, gee, I have this problem, and it lingers. Well, we put ourselves, really ourselves, back into the category of God, or we call, like Max said, the practitioner, and ask the practitioner to put us back into the category of God to heal our problem. The problem doesn't yield, because in this age it's science, and it's to work out our own salvation. Not that we're all not there to support and to open the door and to give the cup of cold water. But all a practitioner really can do is say, the mind which is God is my mind. I have no other mind than the mind which is God. And in the practice chapter, it says, physician, heal thyself. So much of the chapter on practice is what the physician has to do to oneself. Consciousness, and therefore its effect on the patient. The effect on the patient is you pray that the mind which is God is our mind. We have no other mind than the mind which is God, which opens up the patient to be receptive for that mind of which is God to talk to the patient, not to the practitioner. Practitioner doesn't know what the patient's unique life is, nor should it be concerned. It's concerned with its own working out. It's concerned in so fact as helping in that infinite reflection, knowing that we identify ourselves with principle mind, and we identify all others with principle mind. And we see all others identifying themselves with principle mind, where the healing comes for them, and us with principle mind. You see? It is a different sense of practice that we have happening. And so we just allow that to happen in our life and stop struggling. And how that statement goes, a word to the wise is sufficient. That's what these laws say to us. A word to the wise is sufficient. We won't suffer if we get the point that it's trying to demonstrate life in and of spirit. Then it says, all right, in the Christianity order, we go on there and see then that it's always the outcome of the Christ translation and retranslation is a law of self-reflection and demonstration. Is always how big is the idea? Well, the outcome is that our identity is as big as the infinite principle itself. That's the healing. Every part is as big as the whole. And therefore, our identity that is programmed for success and has done so through the law of translation and retranslation. The outcome is healing, and healing means that we see our identity as part of the greater whole, and that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And therefore, how do we see that our identity as a universal blessing within being, within the structure of being? We see, well, therefore, our identity is identified with principle. Therefore, our identity is as big as principle itself. Our identity is as big as mind itself. Our identity identifies with every other idea soul by the fact that our identity identifies with principle, which identifies us with every other identity. Our identity reflects principle, spirit, and therefore every other identity. And therefore, because our identity is identified with principle mind and reflects principle mind, it reflects every other idea in the universe. We start picking up our sense of being that universal reflection through the law of life, truth, and love. That's that law of the family law, really, where we see then in the study aid on page 55. I don't have a transparency, but the family law of the universal reflections therefore show in more detail what it means here, that we actually are the fatherhood of ideas, life, the sonship of ideas, and the motherhood of ideas. It shows that our identity therefore first as life, well, we'll take them together, as life, truth, and love, that we are the fatherhood, the sonship, and motherhood of all ideas first to ourselves. As life, we always give to ourselves all the ideas of God, that we're all of God in quality. First we give that all to ourselves. Then we give to all others that they are all the qualities of God. We do this in consciousness. Then we see that all others identify themselves with God. And all others identify ourselves with all qualities of God. We provide. That goes against, as we'll see, being critical. We don't criticize others. We just give and flood to them, to ourselves, and every other idea, and every other idea to itself, and every other idea to us, that we are the idea of God, the wholeness. Or we could say we sonship to ourselves, first of all to ourselves, then to others, and others to themselves, and others to us. So what we do at the point of truth is that we affirm for ourselves that we are that whole infinite one principle in quality. First we affirm that for ourselves, we don't deny it. We affirm for all others that they are that whole infinite reservoir of the ideas of principle. We see that all others identify themselves and affirm for themselves that they are that whole reservoir of ideas of principle. And we see that all others affirm for us and the whole universe that we are that whole infinite reservoir of ideas. So it's a very mothering sense that is going on. We're mothering ourselves first within the universe with all the ideas of God. And then point B, we're mothering everyone else in the universe and seeing that they are being mothered by all the ideas of God. And then we see that all others are identifying themselves and mothering themselves within the universe. And then we see that all others are identifying us correctly and mothering us within the universe. So we get a wonderful sense of that reflection where we mother ourselves with the principle and we mother all others with the principle and we see all others mothering themselves with the principle and all others mothering us with the principle. And we get that wonderful reflection, don't we? And that is what is being brought out in this sense of the Christianity order. And that leaves us with a wonderful sense of the brotherhood of man. And therefore, from the divine standpoint, we can see, therefore, its principle, life, truth, and love has brought us this experience in the Christ. And now we take that, the idea takes that standpoint as being as big as that principle itself. And the impact is always there, therefore, that for the rest of our lives, we will be principled because the Christ has changed our standpoint from being personal to impersonal through the translation, retranslation. We no more longer take a personal I standpoint. We take the standpoint of thinking only in terms of ideas, and we reject the standpoint now, it's been taken away from us, of thinking in false beliefs. The Christ translation and retranslation has taken away the reverse pattern, and we see only the original pattern. Through the translation and retranslation, we take the standpoint of unselfishness, an unselfed I of soul, which gives up the sense of being egotistic. From the standpoint of spirit, we take the standpoint of being spiritually minded, and we have been taken away that sense of being materialistic minded. At the point of life, we take the standpoint of the fullness of the true manhood of life that we are, and we get it's been taken away from us, any destructive sense of lack, where we're always running ourselves down and feeling we don't have this, or we lack this, that whole critical sense against ourselves and others is taken away at this self, and we only see the fullness of manhood everywhere in ourselves, in all others. And at this point, we see that we have dominion within the brotherhood of man, all as the universal blessing that we are within the system. It takes away any more negative sense within our consciousness the Christ idea has. And we are experiencing at this point of the Christianity for full manhood. And full manhood means that we aren't an isolated identity. We are a full reflection, a universal blessing within the full reflection of God in the universal brotherhood of man, which impels us over to the science order, which therefore says, gee, that's wonderful. And now we understand through the blending, really, that we all in the whole universe, including man, are under this divine principle, love. This principle, which is always operating principle, where it's always then taking the numerals of infinity. That's what we see. And it's restructuring those numerals of infinity, or we could say those identities of being, all the identities of being, in being, all those identities of brotherhood of man, taking the whole numerals of infinity, constantly restructuring the brotherhood of man, bringing out new forms of experience that always exist in mind and in the plan of love. So we get that wonderful omni-action of principle, which really finally takes us back up to the level of science itself, of principle being its own infinite principle. Excuse me. But the nice thing about this law is that it shows that this all goes on in consciousness, in our scientific understanding, where the structure of reality and the structure of consciousness are one and the same thing. So we're just painting the big picture here as we see this wonderful laws behind our life. And we can see, therefore, that we are that law of structured understanding. You see, science and consciousness is now at work in the economy of being, isn't it? According to the law of mind, which must ultimately exert its absolute supremacy. So this is showing that science and consciousness now are now at work in the model of being, that those laws are operating for science, reality, and for consciousness. And so that our consciousness and the structure of reality are one. That's why this order builds, it works with understanding and consciousness, you see, because it's showing now it's one with reality. So just to go through it quickly, and we can work with it at home, but just to give it standpoint. So it ends with the structure of understanding. Do we see why? Because its whole goal was to make our consciousness and God's consciousness one. So it ends with a law working and showing that consciousness is now one with the infinite one. And when it is, it goes up to science. Our nature and God's nature is one. Our consciousness and God's nature is one. How does it do it? Well, then it shows us very clearly through this law that the numerals of infinity or soul in life, see soul here, it's off the page, but soul and life, they're together. The numerals, soul of infinity life, as the structure of scientific being. Therefore, first, the structure of reality, that those unchangeable identities, soul of being life, what? In our divinely scientific understanding, we understand, therefore, that those identities of being can be identified only through spiritual understanding. We've learned that. And therefore, our humanly scientific understanding is as we understand. You hear the tone there of soul, spiritually, so we are. We've learned that. That the structure of reality and the structure of consciousness are one. That has caused us to give up our mortal beliefs, the opposite of that we live in a mortal belief existence, the opposite of soul and life. And therefore, we see that the structure of reality and science and consciousness are the same, because spirit and truth, the infinite calculus, as a structure of reality, is seeing that every idea reflects spirit being in a different form, in a different way. So this infinite calculus is, as a reality statement, is saying that every idea is in an infinite calculus of spirit, bringing out a new form in being. That's what reality is doing. And then on our scientific consciousness, it is therefore that we understand that truth now is a fact ordering, you see, truth. So therefore we see that truth is always in the calculus of spirit ordering itself in our consciousness. We've seen that. We've been under the ordering consciousness of that truth. So the outcome in our consciousness now is that we have gone through the restructuring spirit of facts in our consciousness. So we have made the new discovery that our science and consciousness is now at work in the economy of being. That has given up the sense that we calculate the office of opposite of spirit wildly, the opposite of truth, that we don't take these truths of being and just combine them any other way. We saw that the structure of reality and the structure of consciousness are one and the same thing, and that we must think in categories. We must see that everything is a scientific truth within being, and that frees us from wanting to take the system and just combine anything and not think logically, just to combine everything any old way we like. We see now we have to think logically about reality, and when we do, we have a logical consciousness. Then we see that the outcome is that our consciousness, therefore, is in the reality as a structural pattern of mind in the plan of love. Therefore, the fact is that in being, each idea, mind, has its own perfection love. And that goes on in consciousness, because we see that our consciousness goes out from perfection and operates according to a law. And therefore, our consciousness being at one with God itself is no miracle, and we see it makes the impossible possible. We never could have believed that our life would have been a success, and that it came from the very beginning a success, from pre-established perfection. But with the attitude of these laws, we now know that our life is a success. We're never going to leave that standpoint of perfection. We're going to carry that with us. It's no more a miracle that everything in our life is a success. What we thought was impossible is possible. It is a success. And it has its impact that we'll view the whole world holistically, mind, and we find higher answers in the plan of love, which bring both an individual and collective blessing to us and to all others in our life, in the universe, including man. And this gives up any sense that we are atomistic thinking and blind to the future of what we are as a universal blessing. And therefore, we see that our whole consciousness is just based on the omni action of principle. We're not doing it. And therefore, that structure of reality is all going on now. We know we embrace the model of being, and we see that that structure of reality is going on through the omni action of principle, which in our consciousness shows that principle is operating our consciousness through science and system and law as an all harmonious consciousness, isn't it? And therefore, we see that it, in our human understanding, we are furnished with true holistic proof. We are a success, and we see that the universe is a success, the earth is a success, our whole family is a success, in spite of what the human says. It's a success in God, and we have to see that, whether some of our families here or not, and we say it wasn't a success. We were never a victim. We never were victimized. Our family didn't victimize us, and we're not a victim. We're all a success in the plan of God. We're furnished holistic proof in consciousness, aren't we? And therefore, that gives up the fact that, oh, life is an enigma. I'll never understand it. Why did this happen? Why didn't it happen? Oh, I feel so bad. All these natural things that we all have to go through, and they're all justified. It's right. If we lost the business, we feel so sorry that we lost the business. But we lost it, and we see that it somehow, it isn't mysticism that we think mystically we lost the business. We know now that it is not lost, that everything is a success within being. We have to see the higher order. We have to see that our life is programmed for success, and so is the universe, including man, the whole family. It is all a success within life in and of spirit. So we can see then why Mrs. Eddy shows that our whole life really is a success in and of spirit. And that's what she's trying to bring out, that we put it all back into that spiritual realm. And so in that sixth chapter of Science, Theology, and Medicine, we see there where she says, at the mind is spirit tone under science, she says, the three great verities of spirit are omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience, meaning spirit possessing all power, spirit filling all space, and spirit constituting all science. It contradicts forever the belief that matter can be actual. These eternal verities reveal primeval existence as the radiant reality of God's creation, in which all that he made and has made is pronounced by his wisdom good. Thus it was that I beheld as never before the awful unreality called evil. The equipollence of God brought to light another glorious proposition, man's perfectibility and the establishment of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Huh? This whole system has been operating, so the structure of reality and the structure of consciousness is one, and the structure of reality is life is in and of spirit here and now through those laws of the omnipotent, omnipresent, omni-action of that principal mind, isn't it? And that's what's being demonstrated. That's what we welcome. Life is in and of spirit here and now, and that's where Mrs. Eddy had her healing, and that's where we have our healing, through that understanding, but we have it through the understanding of science, which has impact consciousness, which has made science and consciousness one, hasn't it? And therefore, it propels us into the level of science itself, where that's an attitude and an experience. And it's a present possibility, because it knows no time or space. Okay, well, thank you.